After 25 years in corporate, I'm currently taking time off work to reflect, reinvent, and rejuvenate. This sabbatical was 10 years in the making after deciding that I didn't want to go through another brutal company restructure. I'm pursuing my own interests and experimenting with how I want to spend my time into the future. Welcome to a new series of Unchained podcasts. In these episodes, I'm talking to people who have taken breaks from work for various reasons. I want to understand why they did it, what they did on their breaks, what they learned from the experience, and how they are taking lessons learned from the experience back into their work lives. My guest today is Bryony Lieber. As a career and leadership coach and partner in the business and leadership coaching company, the BLCC, Bryony Lieber has a passion for helping people achieve their full potential. She leverages her 20 years of experience in the mining industry, where she held various technical and leadership roles, and her 8 years in coaching to help executives and senior managers navigate their transition from technical experts to strategic and effective leaders. Hi, Bryony. Thanks for joining me in the studio.
Hi, Petra. It's lovely to be here.
So please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now.
I hate defining myself by my work, but let me start there. I am a partner in the business and leadership coaching company and have been working as a coach in executive leadership and career coaching for the last 8 years. I think there are many other aspects to me, and that was something that I really learnt when I took my break from my career.
So why did you take the break? So how did you know it was something that you needed to do or wanted to do?
The simple answer is I burnt out. And the reason I burnt out was that I've had a lifetime of not managing boundaries and people pleasing and overworking. And I got to a point where I was responsible for a fairly large team. I was responsible for quite a high billing target. I was traveling all the time. I was trying to do too many things. And I think the one thing that woke me up was the day I found myself working probably at about 8, 9 o'clock in the office, reviewing a report that had been given to me at 5 o'clock with the request, please review this. It's due at the client by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. And after realizing that this was a pattern, I started to notice my behaviors and I started to notice that I was training people to disrespect my time. And I was tolerating working very long hours, and it really started to give me some insights into the fact that I was burning out quite badly. And that coincided with probably about a year of me starting to feel like I wasn't who I wanted to be, that I was in quite a rut, that I was starting to lose a sense of my identity. And what I mean by that was I'd gone from being kind of calm, reasonable, kind, generous, to being quite resentful, getting angry very quickly, having very little capacity for patience and for people, and really starting to be a person that I didn't like. And at one stage, I went to see my doctor. She did some hormone tests. The results showed that my hormones were all in the wrong place. I was having emotional outbursts a lot. And when I started noticing that I was crying on the way to work most days, I realized that something was wrong. And it took a long time for me to get up the guts to actually make the decision. And it was mostly because I couldn't visualize myself doing anything but what I'd been doing for the 20 years that I was working. And I remember having a conversation with a friend about this, and I was telling her about my career and what I was doing. And she gave me her perspective of how, as I was talking, she could visualize me doing 20 different things. And it was that perspective that started this kind of journey towards being brave and starting to visualize myself as somebody different, working in a different way, living my life in a different way. And yeah, so in 2016, I handed in my resignation. I had absolutely no idea what I was going to do. I think my resignation letter said I might go do a PhD, I might go and spend the next 9 months traveling, I might start a bakery, I might lie on the couch and do absolutely nothing. I really didn't know. But the one thing I did know was that I'd signed up to do a coaching course just before I resigned. And so my sabbatical gave me time to really sink my teeth into that coaching course.
So how long did it take for you to get the courage to leave? So between knowing that you had to leave and actually leaving, how long was that?
Oh, I would say it was at least a year to 18 months. When I really started feeling like I was just starting to get into a bad place emotionally, physically, intellectually, I was really starting to withdraw. I went to see a psychologist who ended up actually being more of a coach than a psychologist. And through a process of probably about 12 sessions with him, I really started to see how I was contributing to the way I was being, how the context in which I was didn't align with how I naturally like to work. The work that I was doing didn't really kind of feed my soul. And the aspect of the work that I wanted to do, there wasn't enough of that for me to do in the context that I was in. And I remember at one stage saying, I could do the work that I do in any industry, in any kind of context. The stuff that I love doing is mentoring and coaching the young professionals that I work with. And I can do that anywhere, and I want to do more of that. But it really took a good, I would say, 12 months of soul searching and getting a perspective from several other people who, as I said, could visualize me working in a different way. I just couldn't visualize that.
And during this time, did you start fantasizing about what your break would look like?
Oh, absolutely. So I did a vision board probably about 6 months before I resigned. And I was fantasizing there about having a really cool computer. So at the time, I thought a kind of Apple Air Mac or whatever they're called was a cool computer. And I fantasized about working in coffee shops and having lots of flexibility, not being at the end of anybody's bad planning and having complete control over my time, choosing who I worked with and what I did and when I did it and where I did it from, not looking corporate at all, so being able to kind of wear a relaxed shirt and jeans or whatever I wanted. It was the complete opposite of what I'd been in, and it's aligned a lot more with who I am as a creative person. And I put this vision board together, and I had a whole suite of kind of pictures of these sorts of images and some quotes that went with it. And then I put it in a back cupboard, completely forgot about it, and 5 years later realized actually my vision board is exactly how I'm living my life. And that for me was quite a profound realization that when you start to imagine and you allow yourself to dream and you allow yourself to get out of kind of an emotional rut, how creative you can be and how deliberate you can be in creating the life that you want. And it's something that I say to my coaching clients all the time is stop focusing on the specific profession or career that you want to have. Focus on the life that you want and let your work support that, not the other way around.
It's funny that you mention vision boards. I remember doing a vision board with you specifically at the beginning of 2023. And that vision board had on it people meditating. It had little cabins in the wood. It had a lot of nature. It had lots of exercise and healthy food and a whole bunch of stuff. And then in that whole year, none of that happened.
I know. I remember we laughed and laughed and laughed about this vision board at the time, because I remember saying to you, this is beautiful and it looks like a wonderful life, but you do know where you are in your career right now, and you've just taken on a new position and you have no time for you, let alone anything else.
So that never happened.
But it's happening now.
But funnily enough, it's happening now. Yeah. All of that stuff that I visualized then, and then you forget about it. Yeah. And it's the same with making the decision to take the sabbatical 10 years ago. You make the decision, you sort of put the intent out there, and then you forget about it. And then the universe conspires to make it happen for you because it's inside of you. You
Absolutely.
Actually want it to happen.
Yeah. You sometimes you forget about it. Sometimes you dither around it. I think in my case, I got so fixated on who I was and how I needed to keep on feeding that narrative. As opposed to who I wanted to be and how I wanted to be and focusing on that narrative. And at the moment, I find that I'm coming through a phase again of taking another leap in my life and starting to change how I want to do things again, and have spent quite a few months being fixated on – but the past me kind of does it like this. So can I really tear myself away from that? And probably in the last, I would say, month or so, there's been quite a few catalysts that have made me start noticing again. I'm getting into a rut. I'm getting into a headspace of I can't, when actually I can and I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this podcast is really nicely timed, because in preparing for it, it's really given me the opportunity to think through, where am I trying to go, and what is it that's, or rather, how am I getting in my way of actually getting there?
Mm. So when you took that first break, when did you break it to your family and friends, and how did they react to it?
I think I came home from work the one day and told my husband at the time that I'd resigned, and he was quite nonchalant about it and went, okay, that's great. Well done. I think my friends at the time went, it's about time. You have been complaining and exhausted and hiding away from the world for years now. It's good to see you putting yourself first. Most people were pretty supportive. I think the only people who were really shocked by it were actually people at work who didn't believe that I could or would make a choice to do anything else, because all they'd ever seen me do was put work first, and work was my identity. Up until literally the day I left, I don't really think anybody believed that I actually was leaving.
I found exactly the same thing. When I told people I was going to leave the company I was working for, they didn't believe me initially. They were like, what do you mean? But you're a poster child for this company. Well, you've done everything right.
Yeah.
You've done everything right. You've advanced your career. You've done everything we wanted you to do.
Exactly.
And I was even on an executive development course at the time. You know, so they just didn't believe that I actually wanted to leave.
Yeah. I had a friend who said, you can't leave. You're the glue under the carpet. You're not even the furniture. You're the glue under the carpet.
Yeah. So that's the whole company's picture of you and their hopes and dreams for you, which don't necessarily align to how you want to spend your life.
Well, they do for a long time until they don't.
Yeah. So how was the leaving process of actually leaving your job?
Once I'd made the decision, it was very easy for me. It was really the making of the decision that was the hard part. But the moment I'd made the decision, it literally felt like several tons had come off of me. And I think the biggest thing that I then needed to do was financially prepare myself and take stock of how I was going to afford to not be working for a while. It was exciting. I gave 3 months' notice, and I could have left there and then the moment I resigned. I wanted to just start having time to myself and having time to think and play and try things. And as I call it, kind of dip my toes in lots of different puddles and test out lots of different things to see where I was going to end up. Because when I left, I didn't know I was going to move into coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I think the toughest part of it was I felt for a long time that I worked to be an inspiration to other women and to mentor and guide and support other women. And I felt like I was letting a lot of women down by leaving. And that probably was emotionally the hardest part for me, was this kind of tug of war between, I've got to put myself first now, but now I'm abandoning people who have counted on me to be there for them.
Yeah, I found exactly the same thing. The biggest problem for me leaving was leaving my team behind. And we were going through a restructure. So just to make sure that they're all okay, they all found a place somewhere in the company with the whole restructure. So for me, that was, I also gave 3 months. I had 3 months notice. And it was that 3 months I used to make sure that they were going to be okay. Because that was the hardest part, was leaving my team behind. But I couldn't continue to be a filter between top management and my team. I just couldn't continue to do that anymore. It took too high a toll.
Absolutely.
So I basically had to get away from there. So you had all these plans, probably a long to-do list of what you were going to do in your sabbatical or in your break. How long did you plan to be on break for? And how well did you stick to those plans that you had initially formed?
So I don't know that I really had a plan, to be honest. I had cashed out my shares, so I had some money, and my plan was to be on sabbatical until my money ran out. And I didn't have any structure. The only structure I actually had was completing this coaching course that I was doing. So a lot of my time I knew would be spent on the course and doing the coursework in between and doing practice coaching sessions and so on. So that took up a fair amount of my time, which was great because it gave me a huge amount of opportunity to reflect on myself as well. But around that, I think the first thing I did, because I'd booked it probably months ago, was do a 4-day baking course and loved that. And one of the things I thought I was going to do was change careers completely and start baking because I love to cook. I love to serve people. I love to be very generous with food. And so I spent the better part of 6 months baking every single day. And my kitchen kind of got completely taken over. I think at one stage I was baking about 30 chia butter a day. And I was starting to sell them and very quickly realized baking chia butter is not going to pay the bills in the long run. And I think the realization around the realities of baking really came when I was going to go and work in a bakery for a couple of weeks to get a feel for it. And the guy who was helping me with that phoned up and said, right, you'll need to be at the bakery at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I went, nope, this is going to kill my love for baking. Let me keep this as a hobby. So that was one of the things I did. I traveled to the States for a couple of weeks, spent a lot of time with family there, did some other travel that I'd been wanting to do for ages, nothing kind of terribly kind of exciting, but just road trips and so on. And I read a lot. I slept a lot, a huge amount, in fact. And I spent a lot of time journaling and thinking and noticing that what I missed, and that's what I thought baking would fill, was being of service to people. I didn't miss the technical work at all. I didn't miss being a consultant. I didn't miss any part of how I lived, but I missed working with people and being of service. And it was in that process that I came to the realization that what I really wanted to be doing was coaching and mentoring. And in the process of that, I've come to the realization that I don't particularly want to work in a team, but I love working with people. And that's nothing that I ever had an insight into when I was working in corporate.
I love the concept of experimenting. So for me, this whole year that I'm taking off to be on sabbatical is all about experimentation. The course that I was doing last year, the executive coaching that I was a recipient of. Mm. Okay, so we were encouraged to do a lot of thought experiments and to experiment with different ideas for the company, you know, what the company might become, all of that. And I, at the end of that course, went, well, why can't I just take those concepts and use it on my own life? So why don't I experiment on myself and see, like, try a whole bunch of different things. So the same that you mentioned earlier, try a whole bunch of different things and see which of those really make me happy and make my heart sing. So for me, it was do the coaching course. Mm. Also did a coaching course beginning of this year. And it was doing the yoga teacher training as well, because I've always been interested in yoga. Just to see, you know, which of those things are going to be really, really interesting to me. And what would I like to continue doing into the future? So this whole year is for me about experimentation.
Well, and I think experimenting is the only way to really get the truth out of yourself, because you can think yourself into any direction. Mm-hmm. But it's only when you start taking action that you really get a sense of, does this fit me well? I mean, I've spent most of my life thinking, I should have been a baker. I should have been in hospitality. I should have been a chef. And then the moment I dipped my toe in that water, I realized, no, doing this as a profession would kill it for me completely. But I never knew that until I spent lots of time baking.
That's that whole thing about the fantasy. You know, I've got this whole fantasy of I'm going to become a yoga instructor, or I'm going to start doing botanical drawings, you know, or whatever else. Okay. You've got all of these things. And once you actually do it, you see, okay, this is nice, but it should really just stay a hobby.
Exactly.
Nobody needs to be subjected to my drawing. You know, it's just for me, not for anybody else.
It's my creative outlet. I've had the same experience with watercolor painting. I love being bad at it, And I love the fact that I'm allowing myself to be bad at something, because my entire working career, I've had to be brilliant at everything that I do. And that's been part of my identity. And the first time I started to allow myself to dabble creatively was when I realized, actually, nobody's going to die if I don't paint this beautifully.
Mm.
But I'm going to have a great time just letting myself put paint on paper and play.
Yeah. So you mentioned you did quite a lot of journaling and thinking and reflection and introspection. So what does introspection look like for you?
It's free-form writing and really just allowing myself to write whatever's coming up, whether it's a somatic experience or an intellectual experience or an emotional experience, just to write about that. I think introspection for me is also going for a walk, actually able to get out of my context and just be physical in my body. So gym, walking, taking my dogs for a run, all of that is actually one of the most amazing things that I discovered in the course of my sabbatical and over the last 8 years is actually I enjoy exercise, and I always thought I was an anti-exercise person. Pottering around, getting out of my head and using my hands. And I think for me it's quite a weird thing to recognize that actually doing gets me to think better than sitting down and intentionally thinking.
Yeah, it's the same for me. My morning walk is my reflection time. Mm. That's when I'm thinking about all sorts of things, and not necessarily even about work, just about the world, life.
Yeah, just about being.
Yeah. So how long did you end up being on sabbatical?
It was probably 8 or 9 months. I really hadn't planned how long it would be, but I was giving myself up to about 9 months to really just take some time out. That's really all I thought I could afford. And then the one day I woke up and went, I've had enough of this. I need to start doing something, and registered my business and put an advert on Facebook. And 3 hours later, I had my first client, which was quite bizarre, and decided, right, my sabbatical's done. I'm now really starting to jump into the water rather than just dipping my toe in it.
Mm. And what did you learn from the experience from that 8-9 months of being on sabbatical? What were your biggest takeaways?
How we all need time to think. How we all, or rather, let me not speak for everybody, how unconsciously I was living my life. I remember doing a talk at one stage saying, well, entitled, I Slept My Way to the Top. And it was really because I felt like...
I love that title.
It's my title, don't steal it. And it's really because I felt like I was living my life so unconsciously that I was actually asleep. And that was the realization for me, is how we need to be intentional and purposeful in taking time for ourselves, in giving ourselves time to think, to reflect, to struggle, to be with ourselves, to play, to potter around, to be bad at things. Because I think we spend so much of our lives trying to be perfect at things that we stop allowing ourselves to experiment. And so that really was my biggest takeaway. And I know your next question is going to be, do you still give yourself time? And I have to say, I've not been great at that over the last couple of years, but I'm better at noticing when I need to give myself time and then starting to slowly act on that. But I just don't believe any of us give ourselves enough time. We deflect, we distract, we get busy because it's easier than actually facing yourself and being conscious and with what you're struggling with.
My next question is actually, what do you wish you had done more of in your sabbatical?
Maybe more playing. So one of the things that came up 2 days after I left officially, I was having a conversation with somebody. I was at an event, and as people do, the conversation goes to, oh, what do you do? AKA, what's your title? How important are you? And I was so kind of used to saying, oh, I'm a partner in a company, and on paper, I'm this important. And I went, no, that's not my answer anymore. I can't use that answer. And so I turned around and said, I'm unemployed. And she looked at me with absolute horror and immediately turned around and went off to speak to somebody else. And the reason I'm sharing that is that I wish I'd spent more time letting go of my identity and embracing the unknown, because I spent a huge amount of time feeling like I should be doing something. This sitting around just being is not okay. I should be busy, and being uncomfortable with having time. And it was really only probably 6 months in when I started to relax into and breathe into having time.
It's exactly that. After about a month, people ask you, what do you do? And I'm like, I used to be so-and-so at this and this company, but it really doesn't matter anymore. And it takes quite some time, probably about a month to 2 months, to disentangle yourself from that identity.
Yeah.
Your whole identity is wrapped up in who you used to be at whatever company. And for me, that was what was important about the sabbatical. Mm. Okay. It was about disentangling myself or my identity from the company I used to work for, is to actually find out who I was without being that corporate person.
Exactly. Once you don't have a label, who are you actually, Petro?
Well, I am a sabbaticalist.
Ah, love it. That's a profession now. That's a thing.
That's what I'm a sabbaticalist, a podcaster, turning into a writer, which is quite interesting. So there's a lot to me that is not tied up with being some technical, head of technical somewhere else. So is anything that you wish you'd done less of during your sabbatical or your break?
Yeah, worry about my label. Guilt trip myself into thinking I should be doing something. And that's something I still struggle with. So it's a really nice question to reflect on, because I very easily distract myself with busyness to avoid having time to be with myself. And so, I really wish I'd been more intentional about just being and not doing.
Mm. Yeah, that was a advice from my coach last year about stop being a human being. Stop being a human doing and become a human being.
Exactly.
And I asked him, what does that even look like? What does being even look like? Because my whole life is defined by doing.
Yeah.
And I've discovered a little bit about what that actually looks like this year, which has been the whole purpose of taking a break.
I mean, to me, it involves allowing yourself to get bored.
Because from boredom, creativity springs.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to. And I specifically scheduled boredom into my calendar, but left spaces. My whole thing was, I do not want a back-to-back to-do list for the whole year, because otherwise I'm just going to keep doing stuff and fill my calendar with appointments. And that's not what it's about. Mm, it's exactly. about actually leaving space for boredom.
But I'm going to go home after this and schedule time in my calendar for boredom.
Maybe we should do that.
I think we should.
Maybe we should. Is there anything that surprised you about being on a break?
How much it costs? I think that was definitely a big surprise for me. How much I enjoyed just pottering around. How much I enjoyed just playing, and how I'd missed playing. And I think the opportunity to have time to study. That was a big thing for me, because I hadn't studied for a while before that. And so it was really nice to be learning something new again and getting out of a rut. And that for me was a surprise, because I really went into it thinking I'm going to have all this time. So maybe that's the other thing that surprised me, is how quickly time goes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not intentional about how you use that time, how easily we fritter it away doing things that don't take us towards where we're trying to get to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in month 8 of a 12-month sabbatical, and I can't believe that we're here now.
Yep.
Although, as you say, I have been very intentional about not filling my time up with I have not allowed myself to switch a television on before a certain time in the evening. There's no ending up on the couch ringing gin and tonics at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's not allowed.
I didn't do that either. It was not an issue of being allowed or not.
It was, you know, I had specific goals for this year, yeah, and it was stick to those goals and still get up at 6 in the morning, still do your exercise, all of those sort of things. I was very deliberate about, but then I have to also, you know, qualify that. I also went to bed really early, like 8 or 9 yeah, o'clock. So I did get a lot of sleep, even though I was getting up early, because I'm a morning person.
Yeah.
And that didn't change. That didn't change during the sabbatical time. But it was, I like the word purposeful deliberate. So actually use the time deliberately to really think about what it is that you do want to move towards. Because yeah, I was moving away from something.
Mm.
But then what do I want to move towards and what does it look like in redesigning your life,
yeah,
into something that is a better fit for, yeah, for what I really needed.
And the being and the doing of moving towards something rather than moving away from something is completely different.
Mm. Yeah, it is. So you use the time to study, to potter around, do some playing, and after 9 months, re-entered some form of work again, which was completely different to what you were doing in the past. So how was that? How was that re-entering the workforce, so to speak?
Exciting and terrifying. It was one of the most magnificent things I've ever done, because I got to create something from scratch. And it was the most terrifying thing I've ever done, because I still hadn't quite developed my identity as a coach, as a business owner, as somebody who works on her own. I was still a bit attached to where I'd come from. And I think a lot of people still saw me in that space and that identity. So for me, it was very exciting to start defining myself, but it was terrifying in that it was the first time I hadn't felt competent in decades. And I was having to learn so many things. You think in corporate that you do so many things, and then you realize actually how many people you have around you who do all the things you think you are doing. And so having to learn how to run a business and how to market and how to sell myself and how to put myself out there was exciting and terrifying at the same time.
I'll come for you for tips beginning of next year.
Excellent. I'll send you my coaching rates.
You can tell me exactly how to do all of this. Your reason for taking the sabbatical initially was because of burnout. Mm. So it was probably a very unhealthy place to be. Is there anything that you're doing now to make sure you don't ever end up there again?
Well, I've partially ended up there again over the last 2 years. So I'm getting better at noticing when I'm starting to burn out, but I'm not perfect at it yet. But I know that the things that keep me healthy and sane and bounded are exercise, sleep, eating healthily, tapping into my support network, taking time out for myself, playing. I do a hell of a lot of crafts and painting and things that I never defined as being part of myself. And so actually allowing myself to play now is part of my keep myself out of burnout tactic. And lots of journaling and more breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably one of the big things, is giving myself more breaks during the day, allowing myself to not finish everything by the end of the day and shift the end of the day to 10, 11 o'clock at night, and just be more playful.
So how have you taken the lessons that you learned from the sabbatical time into your current work situation?
I would like to say I've done it brilliantly, but I can't say, I can't claim that right now. I think what got me into burnout and what keeps getting me back into burnout that I'm working on currently is putting myself first. So when I went into burnout, it was because I was putting myself last all the time. And I find that when I start to edge back into burnout, it's because I've stopped putting myself first.
Mm.
And I actually have tattooed myself with the words, first love yourself, because I find it challenging to remember that I need to put myself first, fill my cup first, make sure that I am well capacitated first before I give of myself to anybody else. And so I think the one thing I'm doing better is that I'm noticing faster and I'm starting to act on that a little bit faster, but certainly not perfectly.
Mm. Do you think you'll ever take a sabbatical again? And what would you do differently?
Oh, I'd love to. Absolutely love to. I probably would do something quite similar to what you're doing right now. I have two or three books in me that I want to write. I have a whole bunch of conversations that I want to be having. And I think I'd probably spend at least 6 months talking and writing and playing.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention that we didn't cover in the conversation?
I guess I'd like to encourage anybody who's listening to this to put themselves first and to take purposeful time out because you're choosing to, not because you've burnt out. And I think there are so many people who are going into burnout these days faster and faster without realizing it. And the one thing that I've really noticed is that most people who go into burnout are brilliantly productive, and their brilliant productivity is what actually pushes them into burnout if they don't manage their boundaries well. So I just want to encourage people to start reflecting on what you're tolerating in yourself and in others that might not be as good for you as you think it is, and start looking at how to be different so that when it comes time to take your sabbatical, you do it because you're choosing to and not because you need 6 months to just lie down and recuperate before you start to enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. Very, very good advice. Thanks so much for joining me in the studio.
Well, thank you for the opportunity and good luck with the book writing.
Thank you.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.